again for having me this week. I'm so happy to be here. Can everybody hear me? Yeah, so everybody can hear me. Good. So I thought we might start off today again by just becoming quiet and really feeling into our heart. Feeling into that space of the heart. Just feeling that gentle sense of warmth and aliveness, which makes you, you. Now, last week we spoke a lot about the transcendent self, the transcendent reality that we are, which is spacious, which is vast, which is free. And it feels very impersonal, the transcendent. Now, if any of you meditate upon emptiness, or the experience of no self, you'll find a great freedom in every direction, but it seems almost lacking of the individual you. Tonight, what I'd really like us to come into is the individual you within your heart space. That thing that has been with you, that presence that has been with you your entire life. Now, oftentimes I tell an individual, your presence when you were a child, when you were born into this innate. All of us have had this experience of walking into the room with a baby, perhaps picking her up, just feeling this warmth, this aliveness, just pouring out of her body, pouring out of her form. That sense of aliveness, that sense of absolute divinity, which is uniquely you, it's always here. Now, through the years, we have forgotten it. We've identified again and again with our thoughts. We've identified with what people told us about ourselves. And we get lost in that identity. Absolutely lost. Here, this presence that we are, which we have always been, something here that is absolutely beautiful, absolutely divine. And so the invitation is, can we get in touch with this? Can we take two steps out of our mind and one giant leap deep into the presence of our heart? Deep into our heart. And so as we sit together, as we commune together this evening, I invite you, again, just to listen, to experience me, to experience you, to experience this life of yours from the heart, from the direct experience of the heart. I had quite a strange day today. I spent much of my day hanging out with some wounded warriors, some individuals who'd been to Iraq and Afghanistan, and they've been to these wars all around the world. They've made a life out of being a warrior and seen tremendous pain. And I could tell by hanging out with them that there was a part of them that was standing up very strong and very proud. A part of them that was quite confident about the way they carried themselves in the world. But as I looked a little deeper, into their individuality, into their personalities, into their just the nervous system of their body, I saw that they were very tight, very tense within themselves. That they had built up this armor around them, and rightly so. Rightly so, for off to war, it's important, you know, to deepen in that ego so that it can protect us. But when we come back from war, if we ever want to have a relationship with our heart, we have to let go of that armor. We have to be willing to feel the pain that we once experienced and begin to let it go. Now, of course, I'm sure not many of us who are here this evening are warriors. You know, maybe we're warriors for peace. But many of us have been beat up by life. Many of us have struggled in this world. Many of us have experienced heartache or abuse or tremendous loss. Of course, if we are deeply honest, we will be able to find the places where we were angry and projected our anger onto another, or where we lashed out or manipulated. And so to come into our heart, it's not just a matter of getting in touch with this beautiful presence that you are. It's also a matter of shedding the layers of sadness, the layers of anger, the layers of regret or jealousy. It's a matter of shedding the layers. Once we've fully shed the layers of pain that we all carry, then it's easy to live in a sustainable way from this space of the heart. Now, I once was on a meditation retreat with my teacher Adya. And I began to realize that when I first came to see him, I was experiencing this vast, spacious emptiness. But the more and more time I was spent there, I was realizing this emptiness was descending into my form. And so about midway through the retreat, I can remember after one of the meditation sessions, this was at the Omega Institute in upstate New York, I went for a walk in the forest, and it was the fall, and you know, back east when you're in the forest, and it's the fall, there's so many colors, so much brightness. And it was as if I was born into this new world where everything was brilliant, the oranges, the reds, the greens, the browns. And there arose within my heart this absolute love for myself and my life. There was nothing in me that wanted to leave this world. Now, for many years, my whole journey had been about experiencing a freedom that was beyond this world. But when the heart wakes up, the heart wants nothing more than to be here. To be here. And not to be here and just rest in a silent nothingness, but to be here as love. To love in every direction. And it's both a personal love and an impersonal love. It's a personal love for the forest and the trees and the animals and each other. It's also an impersonal love of just absolute radiance pouring out of the heart and shining in every direction. One of the things that I began to notice, though, was that in order to sustain this type of love, the heart must be clear. It must be empty. Must be empty. Must be free from pain. Now, many of us from the spiritual tradition, especially the non-dual tradition, when we think of emptying ourselves out, oftentimes we think of teachings such as not believing your thoughts, seeing through something, shining the light of awareness upon what we are thinking and what we are feeling. And again, sometimes that works. It works in a transcendent way. But to truly let go, to truly empty out our hearts, we must be courageous. We must be willing to feel. This is one of the most difficult things I've come across as a teacher, is convincing individuals that the path to greater love, the path to greater compassion, is through the experience of feeling. And especially through being willing to feel the very things which we don't want to feel. If you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus walked into hell, and therefore he became liberated. He walked into hell time and time again. If he wanted to have his own private heaven world, we wouldn't be reading the story of how he spent 40 days in the desert. We would be reading the story of how he spent 40 years in the desert, how he stepped into his cave and never came out, and he enjoyed his own private peace, his own private love, his own private vastness and emptiness. But to be like Christ, we must be courageous. We must be willing to get our hands dirty, to be uncomfortable, absolutely uncomfortable. Our body does this very interesting thing. When we experience something uncomfortable, our body and our psyche, our nervous system, the three of them work together and they repress these energies within us. And these energies, they build this sense of armor around us. They build this sense of ego around us. They build this sense of heaviness or this weight around us. And for anyone on the planet who's at all conscious of their experience, they know in their heart that they are divine. We know in our hearts that we are good, that we are pure, that we are God. We know this. But in our experience, oftentimes, we feel such a heaviness, such a weight on top of us. And so for most of us, the path is, how can we get rid of this weight? What can I do to get rid of it? How can I not feel this pain? And for many of us, when we get that glimpse of transcendent awakening, we will prematurely, oftentimes prematurely, claim that we are free. But in a sense, what we've done is we've stepped out of our body. We've stepped out of our nervous system. We've stepped into the transcendent. And one of the things my teacher, David, used to say to me so often, he said, the transcendent doesn't change anything. It doesn't change our world. It doesn't change our body. It rarely changes the way we relate to each other. Now, it would be beautiful if it did. And of course it does somewhat. But if any of you have ever traveled to India, you'll see a country where millions of people are living in this transcendent space. And the country is falling apart. There are people in the streets who are starving. I can remember one night when I was traveling, went from one ashram to the next, and I was traveling at night, and I remember coming to an intersection, a busy intersection in the city. It was very late at night. And there must have been 300 people within my plain sight. They were cuddled up and just sleeping on the sidewalk. Whole families just sleeping on the sidewalk. India is such a beautiful country, has such a rich spiritual world and spiritual traditions. But much of the tradition is focused on the transcendent. And when we're just focusing on getting to a place where there's nobody here, nobody present, nobody suffering, we can work our way, step into a place of vastness and emptiness. But for our world to change, for us to change, for our relationships to change, for there to be healing and growth and true evolution in this world, then we must invite this divinity down into our heart. And this is where God says, I will come to you if you are willing to feel, if you're willing to experience, if you're willing to open to me and to empty yourself out. And this is what God is asking for now, is courageous individuals who are willing to come into their heart, breathe into their pain, feel it, experience it fully. And then there's this funny thing that happens. Once you really begin to breathe in, once you really to open that we've all carried our entire lives, there's this funny thing that happens. The pain begins to empty out of us. It begins to leave us. Our body may shake, our body may tremble, and that's what it's designed to do. Many individuals that I've walked through this doorway, it's interesting, they'll turn pale as they get up to this place. I'm inviting them into their heart to truly feel and to truly let go. They turn pale, and then the tears come, the shaking comes. Some people say, oh, it feels like I'm having a panic attack or a heart attack. But the question is, can we be humble just like a child? Can we let the tears flow? Can we let the pain empty out of us? When a child grows up in a very safe and loving home, cry if she's angry. She'll tell you, she'll express it. And as a good parent, if you're willing to pick up that child and just love her, just hold her, and not believe the story. You know, because as a parent, what you'll notice is that kids, they're always going into this world of having a great story of why the world is about to end, because they're not getting the cookie, or the toy broke, or whatever it is. But as a parent, if we pick up that child and embrace her fully, and don't really listen to her words, but just hold her and breathe with her, taking deep, full breaths, what will happen is she will unload her pain. She will empty it out to God, to life, to the sky, to the room, to whatever's there. And then she'll get back down and start playing within a couple minutes. And see, somewhere along the way, probably during our teenage years, we learned we weren't allowed to cry. We had to keep everything within us. And as we keep everything within us, these layers of pain begin to form, layers of division, layers of armoring. And again, if you go back to looking at a child like a baby is born into this world with the absolute experience of oneness. And the Buddha often speaks of our original nature, that oneness is our original nature. A baby is born into the world experiencing oneness. It is her nature. It's always our nature. It's never not our nature. But many of us forget this because through the years we've built up so many walls, so much armoring between us and life. And the way we unarmor ourselves is through letting go. And so many people think that letting go is just a mental process. Now, I can remember a period in my life where, you know, I was married to someone, and then we went through a very painful divorce. And at one point, she looked at me, you know, shortly after the divorce, and in the most angry way, she said, "I forgive you. I forgive you." But boy, did she look like she was still ready to rip my head off. She hadn't moved into this deeper level of forgiveness, which comes through actually feeling the pain and allowing it out of our heart. And so often we think of the doorway to the heart is through just taking some deep breaths and doing some yoga and, you know, having some time alone. And, you know, that would be nice if it would be that simple. Many of us have this experience on retreat. We open to our heart, we rest there. All our needs are taken care of, our meals are cooked. We don't have to worry about the children or this or that. But then as soon as we start to drive back home, as soon as we pick up that cell phone, as soon as we busy ourselves with work, we find that we begin to pick up that armor again. We begin to re-identify with it. Our ego tells us, you cannot be open in the world. But I'm here to tell you this evening, you absolutely can be open in the world if you are courageous enough to feel and experience everything. Oneness means oneness. It's one with everything. It doesn't mean we just experience oneness with things that feel good during a meditation retreat. Oneness means we feel and experience everything. Everything. We experience the absolute vastness of our divinity. We experience cosmic consciousness. We experience the natural radiance and beauty of all of life. We experience the absolute love of everyone's heart. We experience the beauty of nature, the hugeness of the night sky. But we also are one with. We also experience the pain and the suffering in this world. Oneness does not work unless you are willing to feel and experience everything from a courageously open-hearted perspective. There's this very funny thing that happens. If you are willing to be courageous, if you're willing to feel your own pain and do your own personal work, if you're willing to empty out your pain, what you begin to discover inside of you is, yes, an open and empty heart, which is loving and simultaneously radiant in all directions. But what you also begin to discover is this tremendous strength, this tremendous backbone. A backbone that is not afraid of pain. Not afraid of experiencing anything. And I know I say this often, I say this silly phrase. I say, I love pain. Literally. It's through the experience of opening to pain and being willing to feel that our heart develops the strength to be truly open, to be truly one, to be truly non-separate with all of life. All of life. If you look at any of these, compassion is their nature. Most great teachers spend their lives sitting with other people who are in pain, who are in suffering. They do the work of reconciliation. They do the work of shining the light where there is none. And so before we are able to do that, before we are able to sit with another, before we're able to show up with a Christ-like consciousness, we have to be willing to sit with our own pain. We have to be willing to be still and step into the places within us which are scared, which are lonely, which are hurt, which are struggling. We have to be willing to embrace the very places that scare us. We have to be willing to shine the light of awareness into the very places that we don't want to look. And this is not some impersonal thing where we just stand back and just witness it and act like it dissolves. We must be willing to walk into that space with an absolute love, an absolute embrace. And continue to breathe, continue to open. And as we do so, our pain begins to empty out of us. And as our pain empties out, the armoring empties out. And we begin to experience greater and greater levels of openness, greater and greater levels of oneness. I can remember when this naturally, and by naturally I mean it was intuitively, started to happen within me. I was simultaneously flooded with bliss and crying all the time. I spent a good year and a half feeling this pain and grieving it. 30-something years of pain began just to empty out of me, to billow out of me. I'd walk down the street and experience oneness and beauty all around me, and simultaneously tears would be pouring down my eyes. The more I embraced the pain from the past, the more open and blissful I became. This type of awakening, this type of experience, I used to refer to as terribly wonderful. Terribly wonderful. Because when the heart is truly open, yes, you absolutely experience Satchitananda in every direction. You experience it as your nature, and because you can actually see for the first time in your life, you see this Satchitananda. You see this absolute beauty in everyone, in everything. It's an incredibly paradoxical experience to see someone who you previously had despised, previously had been angry or upset with, someone who had previously hurt you deeply. And you look at them and you see this absolute beauty, absolute radiance pouring off their skin, looking through their eyes. Begin to see that everyone and everything is divine. Even villains, even terrorists, even people in the most confused states of consciousness. And then simultaneously, you experience their humanity. You may see where they're stuck or where they struggle. You see within yourself, you see all of your conditioning. You see your ancestors within you. And because the heart is open, the natural response is love. Really, the only thing the heart knows to do is to love. Now, our egoic heart, of course, likes to chase after things it likes, and seek pleasure and avoid pain at all costs. But when we're courageous enough to step into our true heart, feeling becomes irrelevant. And by that, I mean, feeling isn't the guiding force. Whereas when we're an ego, we walk towards what feels good and away from what feels bad. But when we're truly open in our heart, we walk into the truth. We walk into love, into compassion. And that may mean if we see pain within us, we don't ignore it. We don't get on Facebook and start scrolling through Facebook and trying to space out and disappear. We do what a good mother does. If a child is crying, mother does not think. She doesn't leave the room. She walks toward that child, picks her up, and brings her close to her heart. Breathes deeply in her. And again, a good mother does not believe the thoughts of the child. does not believe the thoughts, does not believe the screams. She acknowledges the screams, she acknowledges the pain, but she breathes into it. The other day I was speaking with a fella, and he was struggling with something so intense, so painful. And he asked me, he said, "Craig, how long do I have to do this embracing for? Like, how long do you think it'll take?" Like, it takes as long as it takes. But that question of how long do I have to hold the crying child? I want you to imagine picking up a baby and looking at that baby and saying, "How long do I have to hold you?" See, that's ego. Whereas the heart says, "I don't care how long it takes. I don't care if it's 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. I don't care if I haven't eaten. I don't care how tired I am or stressed out. I hold you because I love you. I hold you because I love you." That's the truth. And so if we truly want to have a Christ-like consciousness, if we truly want to open into a love that has no end, if we truly want to know the non-dual reality, we must be willing to courageously feel and experience everything within us and everything within this world. Now the Dalai Lama thing, he said, "I laugh and cry in equal amounts each day." He feels everything. His country has been blown apart. His people are refugees. And he feels and experiences their pain. If any of you have been to see Amici before, the great hugging saint, the most amazing woman on the planet. If you've never seen Amici, I highly encourage you to see her somewhere. And she comes to the United States in the summertime, normally in the month of June, and then she also comes in around Thanksgiving to Michigan and California. But if any of you see her at her satsang, you'll see she's radiating bliss, radiating absolute love in every direction. And sometimes she'll just sit there and tears will pour from her eyes. She's grieving for her children. She's grieving for the earth. She's not afraid to feel. I saw her one night in South India. And she embraced 25,000 people. The program started at 7 p.m. at night and ended at 7 a.m. the next morning. All night long, she embraced individuals. She took their pain. She transformed it with her love. And many people get confused by going and visiting a guru. They project everything onto, they project all the work onto the guru for them to do. But what Amma is trying to present to us is that we need to do this work for ourselves. We need to do this. We need to come into the truth ourselves. We have to be courageous enough to do this ourselves. I'm seeing a message here from someone that says, could I turn up my mic? I can turn up my mic. Perhaps someone who's familiar with SoundCloud could tell me how to do that. So if you get the message, please just leave me a little note and see if I can figure out how to do this on Sound, on PalTalk. Now someone else is telling me my mic is good. Click on the mic and raise it. Let's see here. And so again, to live in this truth that we are, in a way which is integrated here on earth. We must be willing to feel. We must be willing to experience. We must be willing to do the hard, transformative work of healing, of reconciliation, of forgiveness. We must be willing to get our hands dirty. What I found, and this breaks my heart, but on the spiritual path, most of the people I see are in pain and simply wanting to leave, wanting to get out of here, wanting to feel good by themselves. And I can say I know that I was guilty of that for many years, at least 10 years on the spiritual path. My one and only desire was to get the hell out of here, to get out of my mind, to get out of my body. And if we look at that, it's a selfish motivation. To truly live as God, we must live as God. As an instrument of love. Love is a courageous thing. It's not about just simply going to the guru and sitting at her feet and absorbing her presence. Now, that is a wonderful experience. I've taken my family down to see Amichi for 20 years now. It's one of the highlights of my year to sit in her presence. But what she doesn't want is for us to sit there and space out and just feel good and only worry about ourselves. What she wants, what God wants, is people who are willing to be this love in the world, to be this truth in the world. People who are willing to put themselves second. And the funny thing is the way we begin to learn to put ourselves second is actually through putting ourselves first. Through loving and embracing every aspect of our humanity. When we love and embrace every aspect of our humanity and empty our pain out of our body, out of our form, out of our nervous system, then our heart naturally leads the way. It's normally somewhere along here where you realize your life doesn't belong to you. That you belong to God and are an instrument of God, are an instrument of divinity, are an instrument of love. Now I can also admit that even though Even though in my humanity I wanted nothing more than to escape this world. I knew ever since that I was a child that God was the boss. That I was here to work for God. My teacher used to call it, he used to say this funny thing. He said, "You wake up so that you can become a slave to God." A slave to God. And the ego doesn't like the sound of that. And this is truly the death. Truly the freedom. So when you become a slave to God, you become an instrument of God, you become a movement of God, you become a movement of force of love in the world. Become a force of love. No longer think about yourself. Because there's this greater force that's moving through you, living through you, showing up in you as you. But there must be nothing in the way. There cannot be these places which you hold secret, which you haven't surrendered. There can't be these places where you've built a fortress around your pain, because everywhere you build an egoic fortress, and God can't go there. God can't live there. God can't work there. So it's the individual who's willing to feel, to open, to embrace, to experience, to let go, to forgive. It's that individual who God gives birth into. And you make yourself a fit conduit, a fit instrument of thy grace. As St. Francis put it, a fit instrument. Now many of us in the non-dual worlds, if we just focus on a transcendent awakening, we can hang out there and live there for a while. We can even try to guard our own world of peace. But what you'll notice is something will happen in your life. Your kids will become angry at you. Perhaps your wife or husband will tell you you're being a jerk or you're being aloof or arrogant. You'll lose friends. You may lose a job or a career. Your life will start to fall apart. But if you just try to go into the transcendent and stay there, at some point the force of evolution, which is the force of God, will pull the carpet out from under you. For God is both the transcendent and the force of evolution and the force of love and the force of compassion. And if you have a desire to truly be awake in a fully non-divided way, non-separate way, God will make your life fall apart so that you can discover this truth here. Many non-dual seekers, many non-dual students, they seek heaven that is otherworldly. But non-duality means non-duality. There's no division. No division between heaven and earth. Human and divine, no division. And so the more you open into your heart, the more you begin to see absolute beauty, absolute radiance, absolute Satchitananda everywhere, everywhere. Whereas many of us who step into this transcendent realm, oftentimes we feel as if we are awake and no one else is. I'm outside of the dream. I stepped off the wheel of samsara, and all the people around me, they are living in samsara. They're living in the dream. But when you truly come into your heart and truly open yourselves to this absolute oneness, you see and experience divinity everywhere. You begin to see that everyone is awake. Everyone is divine. Everyone and everything is God. Even the most vile things, the most terrible things, the most horrid things. Now, of course, that's God at a lower level of evolution. And the work here is to join God as this force of evolution and to connect and to deepen into the higher levels and to bring forth that which is greater so that this world may truly transform. So the world may truly transform. And so I invite you this evening feel into your heart again. To feel this quiet presence of love which you are. This quiet presence of beauty which you are. To connect with that which is true, that which is innocent, that which is good. Feel this absolute innocence which has been here in every single moment of your life, but perhaps forgotten. And from this place of innocence, I invite you to scan your experience. Is there anything within you tonight? Is there anything here this moment which is begging for your love? Is there any place of pain or sadness or anger? Is there any place which needs to be forgiven or where you need to ask for forgiveness? Can you invite it forward into the space of your heart, into the space of your love? Can you acknowledge it, honor it, allow it fully to be here, to fully come into the light? And even ask this pain, what do you need? How can I help you? What do you need so you can let go, so you can heal, so you can release? What do you need? If there is sadness which needs love, I encourage you to breathe a deep sense of love into your sadness. If there's heartache, we breathe love. If there's jealousy, we breathe in love. If you do not feel as if your heart is big enough, I invite you to call upon God. Call upon the Creator. Invite her into your heart. Give her this pain. Give her this sorrow. You do not need to carry it any longer. Can you give this to God? For God is wanting to take this pain from you. God is wanting to take this sadness and sorrow from you. Can you breathe in this deep sense of love, this deep sense of compassion and embrace, and as you breathe out, allow this pain to empty out of you. Can you forgive yourself for being a human being? Can you forgive the rest of us for being human beings, for making mistakes, for trespassing against you? Can you see that there's a child within you who wants nothing more than to be this innocence without this burden? And so again, we're breathing, we're feeling, we're experiencing. We are loving. We're loving both our absolute beauty, our absolute innocence, our absolute divinity. And simultaneously, we're loving our humanity, the places that struggle, the places which are weak, that have been confused, that have been hurt, that have been abused. We're breathing the sense of love. And noticing that despite all the hell you've been in throughout your entire life, there's something here which is pure, which is profound, which is spacious, which is free. There's something here which has never been harmed by any amount of pain, any amount of sadness, any amount of heartache, any amount of abuse. Please join me in this acknowledgement. Please join me in waking up and seeing there is something absolutely, absolutely beautiful, absolutely divine, absolutely innocent, an innocence that is indestructible. That has outlived every experience of your life. How amazing is that? How beautiful this presence that you are. How absolutely beautiful. What would life be like if you simply let go into that? What would life be like if you chose to live from this indestructible innocence? You can always choose to be an ego. Many of us have spent whole lives in ego, in pain and suffering and separation. But how many of us have courageously and open-heartedly stepped into this innocence? And realize this innocence cannot be harmed. Cannot be harmed. And I want to be clear here. This innocence feels and experiences everything. But it's not harmed by anything. This is a radical perspective. This innocence can feel everything, can experience oneness with everything, can feel the pain and the suffering of the world, but is unharmed by anything. This innocence is your very nature. So thank you all for joining me. Thank you all for allowing me this opportunity to share in this way. And of course, if anyone has a question, you're welcome to ask it now. If anyone has a question they want to discuss through email, you can send me an email and I'll talk about it next week. And I know there's so many things we can do, so many ways we can share our attention, so many ways we can share our lives together. So I'm so thankful for you to share your lives with me this evening, to share with me in this grace, within this love, and to share your beauty with me. As I sit here tonight, I feel blessed by not only the presence of God, but by your very nature. By your nature. So I humbly bow before you. Thank you so much again for sharing in this evening, in this love, in this light. May peace be with all of you.